listening to The Morning Show with Aaron. That's Boy Genius with Not Strong Enough. And in the studio, I've got Jasmine from the Environment Centre. Good morning.
Morena.
So we're continuing our environmental theme this morning. And
we've just had Bexy. You've just had Bexy in here as well.
Yes.
And that is a nice segue into that Bexy will be presenting at the next Science Night.
Yes, about that topic.
Yeah.
But with pictures.
About the Pirongia Ecological Corridor. That is our next Science Night topic in June.
So that's a few weeks away?
Well, yeah, we actually just off air before I came on, we confirmed a date of June 19th.
Okay.
So that starts at 7 PM. It just runs for an hour, and that will be in the Harbourview Hotel.
Yeah.
Probably again out in the courtyard.
What I was missing from my conversation with Bexy was like just trying to visualise. The whole time I was trying to visualise where things were.
And the good thing about Bexy doing the next Science Night is that she'll be able to show all of, you know, her images and everything on a slideshow. Yeah, it'll be really, really interesting. I've been dying to know about that, actually, to learn about it more.
One of the themes of the conversation that I really like, and it's like the Karioi projects originally began just with local people going up the mountain to trap because they were just sick of the situation up there, and it's grown into this thriving organisation with huge support. And the, you know, what's happened with Pirongia, they've got the same thing happening over there. Mm. And of course we know about Mangatauturi with its special project there. And she said this because I was expecting also she'd get a lot of resistance, you know, because she's trying to get the birds across farmland, but it's just not like that. The landowners are really excited to be part of the project, and it's just something that's growing and growing.
Yeah, and I should actually specify it as the Mangatauwhiri.
You're reading Bexy's writing?
Yeah.
Mangatauwhiri.
Bexy's probably listening in her car on her way to
Pirongia.
Something else now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I'm quite excited about that because I haven't actually had a chance to sit down with Bexy since she's been in that role and really talk about what she's doing. So this will, if you're like me and you're one of those people that really wants to hear about her exciting work over the last couple of years, this is a really good opportunity to learn all about it. Yeah.
And because she's been in it for a couple of years now, there's a story to tell of
and I imagine she's got some really great photos and videos or photos. It'll be fun.
That's what I want. I want those aerial pictures just to see exactly what we're talking
about.
Putting
the pressure on her now.
You get it, get a drone.
I reckon
Bexy,
she'll have some good stuff.
A drone, film the whole thing. That's what we want. Now I missed the last Science Night.
It was about doo-doo, poo. Liz is still bringing out the puns.
So Liz was one of the people.
Liz Stanway, who runs the organics yard up at Extreme Zero Waste, who is one of our local composting queens. She was in a panel discussion alongside Manu Moana, and who used to run our food security projects and is a local sustainable builder and has probably the only, if not one of the few legal composting toilets I know of in Raglan. Not the only one.
Okay.
One of the few, yeah. Yeah, he's got a full legal composting toilet inside his house.
Is there a standard now for that?
There's standards.
When we say a standard, there's like these orange books. Well, they used to be orange.
Yeah, so it is doable. Doable.
Well, good point.
And then we also had Max Johnston, who is a dock ranger, and we had Rolando who is a vet at Anexa. So it was a really cool, great rounded panel discussion on poop.
And so was it about what to do with it?
It was about, we talked about animal poo, like composting it, like pet poo, how to use, you see those bags of horse manure being sold, how you would use them in your garden, what not to do with them, and then also human feces, how to compost it. There was a lot of talk around health and safety as well. That's a really big part of it. We talked about, not at great length, but about the how to approach it from a cultural perspective as well.
Yeah.
You know, not using like body parts or waste around food, unless it's just for your, if you're comfortable about it in your own backyard and it's just for you, sure thing. But yeah, it was a really fascinating discussion. Yeah. And it was humorous at times, obviously, as it would be. And as I said, the puns are still kind of coming out a little bit.
Something I wanted to know was, I have this vague idea that you're not meant to put like dog poo in your garden or your compost or things like
how the topic came about was Gemma, who works at Extreme. We were discussing what should we, like, how to tie Science Night in with Composting Awareness Week, and she said, what about dog poo? And because it's such a relevant topic for Raglan, you know, it's, people are always complaining about dog poo on the notice board.
Well, I walked out of my front, out of our driveway this morning, and across the road was a man picking up dog poo from his two dogs that he was taking for walks.
And also just the conversation that happens, because I've got a dog, you know, and it does seem really frustrating to just be using these plastic bags all the time and putting them straight into the bin. And you see them, you know, if they've fallen off, people have dropped them and they're everywhere.
So they're going to landfill.
They are going to landfill.
Which we're trying to avoid having organics in landfill, aren't
we? Yeah, that's right. Basically, like, one of the best ways, what I learnt from this is the best way to deal with dog poo is actually just to dig a hole in your backyard. Maybe you want to dig it away from food sources, but just dig a hole and put the dog poo in and fill it up and cover it up again.
Because it's very biodegradable by definition.
Well, the worms can just eat it.
Yeah.
Like, so, yeah, I thought that's a great way to deal with dog poo, actually.
Is there specific reasons not to put it in your garden? Is there stuff that
You should never put animal or human waste directly into your garden anyway.
Not your food garden.
From a health and safety perspective, you're risking, like Liz mentioned about how she, you know, has lots of woofers who come from overseas, and you don't know what pathogens are being transferred, you know, through.
Well,
human
waste. And that's something we're very aware of these days.
It's actually really important. There are valid reasons why we don't have the health issues that they did, you know, hundreds of years ago, you know, and why you have to wash your hands after you go to the bathroom.
And all that. Yeah, for sure.
All
right, so moving on to other things. Oh, actually, so that was part of Compost Awareness Week. How did all that go? Because you had a series of events.
Yeah, so on the so we had a composting workshop, hot composting workshop, out at Waitatuna School, which was led by Shai, who has a Ruapuki Gardens, a market garden out there, and that apparently went really well. I've got photos which will be put online later today. It went really well. It was a good turnout. Just people were really excited. And all the proceeds, like, that was the only event that we actually charged for. It was $20 per person. And the reason for that was because all the proceeds were actually going towards the Waitatuna School Garden to Table program. So it was a hands-on workshop, so the participants were learning as they built a hot composting system for the school, which will be benefiting the kids' vegetable garden.
Because they grow vegetables.
They grow their own vegetables there. Yeah, that's Tanya Ashman, who runs our food security programs, has been working with the school for a few years now.
Okay.
Yep, doing an amazing job. Sometimes weekly, at the moment I think during the winter hours it's fortnightly, and we introduced the Garden to Table program, and so they actually had their local representative at the workshop as well. And it's wonderful. So the proceeds went to that program, which involves the children. It's a whole program, school program, that the children, you know, are harvesting the produce from their garden and learning how to cook with it and what to do with it.
The whole process.
Yeah, it's really great. I'd love to see more of our schools on board with our Tamariki Mahimara program and the Garden to Table program. Yeah, it's really beneficial.
Soil to stomach.
Yeah, soil to stomach. Sounds like a good science night topic.
Yeah.
We've had soil to supper, actually.
Soil to supper. Yeah. You like the idea that, like, it's in my stomach. I like that.
Yeah. Okay, and then so. We also had Extreme had, as part of Compost Awareness Week, we had open tours up at Extreme, so you could go up and see the have a tour of the organics yard and the composting food composting system. And I think on Tuesday they had like 20 people.
Oh, okay. We weren't sure what it was really going to be busy. Like for Liz, whether she'd just be standing there by herself or there'd be large crowds or what, but it sounds like there was...
Yeah, I think varied, it was Tuesday was the day that everyone decided to go up, including the Raglan Horticultural Society.
Oh, okay, yep. Right. Okay, they can get a crowd together. Yep. So,
And then Pauline Abrahams had an open day at her house, at her garden. So you could go in and see a compact gardening system in place, which was, you know, her little compact garden, her worm farm and compost system and that. And she had four people turn up. And it was just over the period of, like, between 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. On Friday, and she had four people turn up, and she was telling me yesterday how wonderful it was, you know, like they had some incredible conversations, really excited people. So
it's better
people.
When there's a small number and you can, like, get a focus going. Okay.
And it was just a drop-in at that one.
And there was a film shown as well, and I think the film's playing again this month. That wasn't part of the... Was sort of part of the
program.
Oh, are
you talking about... Yeah, so that's... It wasn't intentional.
Oh,
but then,
it's a pure coincidence.
Yeah, but then Roger emailed me to say that... actually, I must publicise that. Yeah, that what perfect timing it was that they were running a movie, and I think that since then they've decided to run it again.
Yeah, so I can see a poster behind you there. 6 inches of soil, Sunday the 19th at 7 p.m.
Yeah, I better... I better
so that's this
that.
Coming weekend, yeah. So I've got no idea... much about it. I think it's
you can go on to you can go on to the old school Raglan old school website and learn about it.
I think it was about regenerative agriculture in the UK from memory.
Yeah, so that's on this Sunday at 7 p.m.
Okay, so how's how is the Repair Cafe going?
Repair Cafe is going incredibly well. For those who haven't made it along yet, it's the second Saturday of every month, so we just had one. And it starts at 10 a.m., finishes at 12 p.m., but the last items are received at 11:30.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, went really well, I have to say. Nick, who is the coordinator for the Repair Cafe, she... made the best chocolate brownie I've ever had in my life.
Oh, I see. Bribery.
It was incredible. I'm pretty sure I hate to ask how much butter was in that, but I'm sure she must have used Whittaker's or something as well, because there were chunks of that and it was to die for, and it got demolished by everyone there.
Will she be doing more next
time? The baking.
Time?
It's worth going for the baking alone.
Will she do it again next month?
Oh, I don't know.
You better not make any promises.
I better not make promises. But I tell you what, every time I've been... there is amazing baking.
Right.
Really, really incredible volunteers that supply baking. But, yeah, it was a really good turnout. I think it was their, for this year, it was their second biggest environmental impact. So they had 51 kgs of waste prevented from landfill.
Yep.
Diverted from landfill. 24 items were repaired. So that's not including the stuff that I know that there was, like, for example, there's stuff that that wasn't repaired on the day but was either repairable, it just needs certain parts, it was identified parts was needed, or it needed to go to someone like a professional, or because it might have taken longer than what the volunteer had. And there was one person who had a denim jacket that the cuffs were completely frayed, and they were getting this beautiful vintage fabric that Molly, the repairer, already had.
Yeah.
She was making new cuffs to go over the frayed cuffs, and she is finishing that at the next Repair Cafe. Yeah. Okay. So out of the confirmed and repaired items, there were 24, and that was 306 CO2 emissions prevented as well.
Okay, you guys have really got the stats on this.
Oh yeah. And actually, we got contacted by Marama Davidson's office a couple of weeks ago, asking for a meeting, a Zoom. Because they have the right to repair bill,
yes.
Which was put forward, it was a few years ago now.
Was it put into the biscuit tin?
It got pulled out of the biscuit tin recently.
Yeah.
And we celebrated the fact that it will finally go to its first reading, which will actually be, we now know, will be end June, early July. Madama Davidson wanted to just ask us what the biggest challenges were and how, just really trying to find out about what Repair Cafe and the Outall Library were experiencing. Nick and I sat down with her and her team on Zoom on Monday, just for, I think it was about 40 minutes or something. And they were pretty blown away by the records and the data collection, because Nick was able to show the links to the global data as well.
Right.
And Aotearoa, and it narrows it down to the model and the make and everything, and it shows what brands have the highest rate to landfill and unrepairable, and
they do want data in the government. They always want data.
Yeah, data is really important.
There's no good coming to them with a story.
Information is really important. Yeah, so that was wonderful. Yeah, we're really pleased to be able to provide some really valuable information there.
Yeah, that's cool. Mm. And just before we go, the growers market, I went along. I hadn't been for a while. I went along last Friday, and it was packed in the hall there. The Friday night growers market.
It has been like that. Yeah. That was it's wonderful. It's got such a beautiful feel to it. But we're just winding down for a break over the winter months. So the last market is the 31st of May.
So we've got two or three left.
Yeah. Mm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Three left. Yep. So, that's going to be taking a break over the winter months, which... it's a little bit sad, but it does make it, everyone gets really excited when it comes back in spring. So it'll be back in September.
Back in September.
Yep. So make the most of it while you can.
There's just a 3-month break.
Yeah, it is just a 3-month break. Yeah. Yep. So we'll be winding up our third season of the Raglan Growers Market on the 31st of May. So I don't know. It's funny because you would expect every week, I think, it's going to be really quiet. There's going to be not much produce. They're about to, what they're winding down. But I'm always surprised at how much produce there is. Yeah, there's a lot of produce. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And maybe you might want to hook up with a grower for the winter months, just in case. You never know. I'm not. This is an idea off the top of my head. No one's told
us this will happen. What's going to happen over that period of time. Yeah. 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 All right. Yeah, so, hold out for the growers market for the next three weeks. Yeah,
all right.
Pop along.
Folks, we've been talking to Jasmine from the Environment Centre, all the updates there, and the thing we started off talking about, in fact, we were talking with Bexy about the Ecological Corridor Project between Mangatauteri and Porongia, and that will be the next Science Night, which, Jasmine, was that the 19th that you're going to be doing that?
19th of June is the next Science Night from 7 to 8 p.m. in the courtyard of the Harbourview Hotel. Unless there's a venue change. But the best way to find out about all of our events is to go to our website. Our website is whaingaroa.org.nz, and at the top of the page you'll find a tab that says events. Click on that and you will be taken to see all of our events that are coming up. And also you can click on what we do, and that tells you all of our projects and how you can get involved.
Because there are a lot. We haven't covered all of them this morning by any
means. And we do have a Facebook page.
Yeah.
You can follow us along on there.
All right, Jasmine, thanks for coming in.